Well, good morning, everyone.
Morning.
If you could, please turn with me to John chapter 21. John chapter 21. So our emphasis this morning is going to be the latter part of this chapter, but for context, we're going to read the whole chapter together. So this is after Jesus' resurrection and just before his ascension back to heaven. So we're going to start in John chapter 21, starting in verse 1. So after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. On this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said also unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his father's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus said unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up, and drew the net of the land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask them, Who art thou? Knowing it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was risen from the dead. And from here on it will be what we'll focus on for the rest of the morning together. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, Feed my lambs. He said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, which he also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is it that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus said unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said, not unto him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth to these things, and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose, that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. So, before we consider a few thoughts that came from the latter part of this chapter, let's just have a word of prayer together. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this morning where we can gather in your house and just have a good time of fellowship in prayer, in your word, some good singing together. Father, we just thank you so much for this opportunity we have here. And Father, we now just pray that as we consider a few thoughts from your word, we just pray that we'll be receptive to whatever you want us to learn. We just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, first thought to consider is one thing that really sticks out is that is Jesus asks a vital question here to Peter, and it's in a way for us to remember and to keep on track with what is most important. He asks it in a way to help keep us focused. So Jesus drives home an important point to Peter by asking him the same question three times. So that's something that really sticks out. It is quite possible that this is intentional because Peter had previously denied the Lord three times. And you may also be aware of the fact that in this particular passage, the word love is used in two different ways. Jesus uses the stronger meaning, and Peter uses the weaker meaning. So I'm not 100% sure what we're supposed to make of this, but using Scripture solely as our reference point and reading about Peter before the denial took place and then reading about Peter after the ascension of Christ into heaven, I think it's not unreasonable to suggest that very few human beings in history loved the Lord Jesus as deeply as Peter did, despite his mistakes, shortcomings, and sinful nature, in of course which we all share as well. So then, was it that Peter was determined not to make any more big, arrogant boasts? I think that may be the case. The first question from Jesus is, lovest thou me more than these? It seems Jesus was asking Peter if he still thought his love was superior to that of the other disciples. I think Peter learned a huge lesson and is unwilling to make such a claim now. I think this shows that Peter had become more humble, and I think this is a great thing. He was reminded that actions always speak louder than words. But I also think there may be another legitimate reason why Jesus asked this question three times. This is because it sometimes takes asking a question many times before someone hears the real question. And I have been guilty of the same thing on many occasions myself. Just ask people who have known me for a long time, my parents, my sisters, former hockey coaches, professors. Sometimes by asking the question two or three times, they finally seem to get an answer to the real question that was asked. And I think Jesus wanted to make sure that Peter heard the question. And this morning, we need to hear the question. So, do you see, this question really shows that Jesus is not seeking religion. He's seeking a relationship. So, he doesn't ask, do you love the church? He doesn't ask, do you love doctrine? He doesn't ask, do you love the people in the church? Those are all very good. But Jesus asked the most important question of all. Lovest thou me? Do you love me? There is absolutely no doubt in my mind that some people here this morning love a child, they love a parent, they love a spouse or another person more than themselves, and if it was ever required, they would lay down their life for that person. But the question is, would we do the same and that much more for the God of the universe, the one who gave himself for us at the cross so we would not get what we deserved, which is eternal separation from him in hell, but rather we can look forward to being together with him forever in eternal paradise in heaven. So you see how differently we would live our lives if we kept this question in the forefront of our hearts. I challenge us this week as we go about our duties and responsibilities to think about Jesus saying to us, "Lovest thou me?" When you are doing something that you know is displeasing to the Lord, think about our Lord saying, "Do you love me?" Ask yourself, is this the kindness and respect I want to show to someone who has loved me unconditionally? Despite the fact we are still going to sin and make mistakes, I encourage us all, when this happens, to humble ourselves and make things right with the Lord as quickly as possible so a pattern or a bad habit of sin doesn't start. And if applicable, if we hurt other people in the process, I also encourage us to make things right with them as well, because they are God's creation. They're made in his image, and he loves them very much. This leads me into our next thought to consider. Jesus really sets the example for us to follow by forgiving Peter. There are a lot of responses that Jesus could have had to Peter for denying him after everything that Jesus had done for Peter. He could have responded to him like many of us would have done. He could have given him the cold shoulder. He could have given him the silent treatment. And he could have made it clear that he was very angry at Peter and let him agonize over it for a very long time. He could have said something along the lines, "You know, Peter, I would have asked you to do this, but I just don't trust you anymore." Or better yet, if Peter would have made another statement or another promise, he could have thrown a little dart of sarcasm at him and raised his eyebrows and said something along the lines of, "And I am supposed to believe you or take you seriously, Mr. Betrayer?" But this is not what Jesus chooses to do. This is not what Jesus chooses to do in the least bit. Instead, Jesus gets to the heart of the issue. What Jesus does is let Peter know that he believes in him and still trusts him. Jesus forgives Peter. He doesn't say the words, but sometimes those exact words really aren't necessary. Remember, most important is our actions, and people, they see our actions, and it is so clear that Jesus set Peter free that day, especially when we read on in the book of Acts. Peter was in fact used in magnificent ways by the Lord and was a huge encouragement to the believers in the early church. And don't simply take my word for it. Read on, and I think you'll see that it's pretty obvious. You know, I meet lots of people who are filled with bitterness and resentment. Something happened in the past, and they really haven't been able to forget. In fact, the pain of the event is only surpassed by the pain of the memory. Every one of us has people who have hurt us to some extent. They spoke an unkind word. They cheated us in some way. They were inattentive. They neglected us. They were abusive towards us. They disappointed us when we needed them most, etc., etc. Every one of us has a Peter in our lives at some point. The question to ask this morning is, what are we going to do about it? The Lord in no way, now let me make this clear, the Lord in no way wants to minimize and deny the pain that you may be feeling, but he wants to make sure that we handle it properly. Jesus told us that a person who is unwilling to forgive shows that they really do not appreciate what they have been forgiven. In Matthew, at the end of Matthew chapter 18, Jesus tells the parable of a man who was forgiven a great debt. And then he goes out and he throws a man who owed him a much lesser debt into jail. This is not good. Not good at all. Jesus argues that we have been forgiven a much greater wrong than any wrong any person could ever commit to us. Knowing what it is to receive mercy, we should be willing to extend it. If we are unwilling to extend forgiveness, it only goes to show we did not appreciate what we have received. In no way am I trying to oversimplify this concept. In no way am I trying to do that. It can only be done with God's help and God's strength. It is a supernatural phenomenon we're speaking of here. But thankfully, God wants to help us every step of the way, because it can only be done with His help. Another thing for us to consider this morning is the message of Romans 12:19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So in a very real sense, forgiveness is an act of faith. By forgiving someone, I am trusting God that He is a better judge than I am, and I'm letting Him do His job. So if we refuse to forgive someone, how much do we really trust God? That's a question that we all need to ask ourselves. Putting the spiritual aside for a moment, often the person who is healed the most from forgiveness is the person who does the forgiving. When we genuinely forgive, we sometimes come to realize that the prisoner we have set free is ourselves. And subsequently, our physical and mental health will improve drastically, drastically. The next thing I'd like us to consider together is that Jesus empowers Peter and gives him an important job to do. We should notice that Jesus gives Peter a job to do. We need to see that. Our Lord does not simply forgive Peter, but He puts him back on the right track. He puts him on the right course. He does this by spelling out to Peter what it is He wants him to do. He wants him to feed and take care of the sheep. In a sense, we all share in that responsibility, not just the elders here at Cherrydale. All of us are involved in caring for the flock of God. We all need to feed the sheep. All across North America, and the world for that matter, people come to church, the house of God. Many love their assembly and the times they spend with the other people in it. And that is really good. But what is not good, and what we must be cautious about, is that many of those same people are starving spiritually. They are having fun, but they are malnourished. We must make sure that we teach the truth of Scripture. It is only God's truth that will set us free. So some things that we must never, never, never forget. They are God's sheep. They are not ours. It is not about us. It is about giving God all the glory. We are not building our kingdom. We are not building our church. It is God's kingdom, God's church. That truth should stop much of the personal pride and pettiness that can sometimes divide us. Also, the sheep are not all the same. He calls some lambs and He calls some sheep. All of us are at different levels in our spiritual growth. And we must understand that each person was created unique and different. We all have different gifts and different talents and different ways to communicate to each other. We must embrace that diversity and help each other reach our full potential for Christ. Finally, we also need to care for each other the way that Jesus did while He was on the earth. It is not enough to simply recite Bible verses, for example. People become much more receptive to the gospel and the love of God when His people are actively trying to live out the biblical message. In other words, we must get involved with each other if we are going to help each other grow. So on a final note, Jesus tells Peter that he knows he will indeed be faithful. He knows that someday Peter is going to give his life out of love for him. Indeed, Jesus does know that Peter loves him. He knows that. But don't miss what comes next. Peter sees John following behind them and asks, "What is going to happen to him?" Jesus quickly responds, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to you? Follow thou me." Why is this significant? Jesus is telling Peter that the issue is not John, but it's him. And so it is with you and me this morning on March 23rd, 2014. The issue is not whether the other guy loves Christ. The question is, do you love him? The issue is not those who hurt you, it's you. Will you forgive? It's not whether others are doing their job, but are you doing your job? This is a message that is meant to be taken personally. Have you gotten distracted? Will you examine your heart today and ask, do I love Jesus? And don't be quick to answer that. Ask the question several times. Make sure you really understand the significance of the meaning of it. Also, is there someone that you need to forgive today? Do you need to make a visit? Do you need to make a phone call? Are you willing to trust God and love him enough to let go of the bitterness and the resentment? Are you feeding the sheep the best way that you can in accordance with the gifts that God has given you? And will you stop being obsessed with what you think your brother or sister should be doing or not doing, especially when you do not have the big picture the way God does? And finally, are you yearning for forgiveness yourself? Do you feel a barrier between you and God because something of you may have done? There is real hope with God. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, you who are weary and heavily burdened, and I will give you rest." His arms are open. Forgiveness is offered. His grace is greater than any sin you may have committed. While it's not a bad idea to learn from the past the best way you can, please be assured that God will forgive you. He will forgive you, and he wants you to move forward with your life, to move on with your life, and do wonderful things in his name like Peter did. He will always be with you. His grace is sufficient despite any weaknesses you may have. And he wants you to focus on serving him for whatever time you may have left on this earth. Whether it be one day, whether it be 3 weeks, whether it be 10 years or 73 years. It really doesn't matter. The thief on the cross, the only thing he had time to do was believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't have time to make things right with any people he may have wronged. Peter, for example, he lived on a little longer in his adult life, and eventually he died a martyr's death. John, he lived to be an old man and eventually died in exile. The principle is the same. Make the best with the time God gives you. You know, Satan is the master deceiver. He really, really is. And he wants you to think that your life has been wasted because of mistakes that you have made. But Jesus, the epitome of truth, he counters that. And he says he wants you to move forward. He wants you to carry on, and that he's going to be with you right by your side. So who are you going to trust? Who are you going to trust? Brothers and sisters, I hope you are feeling encouraged and are aspiring to have an afternoon that will bring God glory and honor. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for being the great God that you are, Father, and that your grace really is greater than our sins, and that despite our weaknesses, you want to use us, Father, and it's just such a privilege to be called your children. And we just thank you for this time we've been able to spend together. And we pray all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.